All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We need to begin, and we'll begin this morning. We'll be in the New Testament today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is our book that we'll be in, I guess, for the next 3 months. I haven't really looked ahead in my lesson planner, but I think we'll be in this one particular book. How many chapters is there? There's 13 chapters in 2 Corinthians, and we'll kind of break these down. This morning, our lesson is more of an introduction to get us into the book. It's good as you begin to have a good understanding of what this book, the purpose of it is going to be, and all that we'll encounter in this book. And I think as we get into our introduction, you'll find that it is something that is for everyone. And we'll look at some special things that you'll find here. Paul will be the author. He will be the one talking in this book, describing a little bit about his life. And we'll look at that. First of all, let's pray. We'll pray real quickly here, and we'll jump right into our lesson for this morning. Let's do pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, for this special time that we have as we come together as your child, as your children, as we come together around your book. We do pray that you bless our time as we study for the next few moments, as we read through this book and as we study. Lord, may you help us to better understand life and, Lord, even some of the difficulties and struggles of life and how we overcome them. And God, I pray that you'll help us with that this morning as we begin. We do pray, Lord, for many in our church this morning who has different types of needs, different prayer requests. We pray for them that you would, Lord, answer their prayers this morning. Help those that are sick this morning that need physical healing. Lord, I pray that you'll help also everyone who has maybe spiritual needs this morning, that you'll heal there as well and give help in our time of need. Lord, we do pray for the lost this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help us maybe even at this special time of the year as a lot of the world focuses on Christmas. Lord, many have a distorted view of what Christmas is all about. But Lord, help us as your child maybe to take advantage of this time of the year as we focus on the birth of Christ. And Lord, may it be a good tool that we can use maybe to witness and be a testimony unto those that are lost during this time of the year. We do pray for our missionaries and how special they are as well. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon them. We do pray for our nation as well. We pray for the leadership of our nation, that you would give good godly leadership and direction there in our land. We do pray now that you bless our service this morning. We pray for Brother Richardson. We uplift him today, that you would bless him, that you would empower him, that you would speak through him today, and help us to be good listeners as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, the book of 2 Corinthians is a very interesting book. You'll find that it's a very practical book. It's a when you go into reading the book, if you'll have an understanding of the purpose of why Paul is writing. And as you read through the book, you'll find that it is very, very practical, very easy to understand, very easy to follow. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. We'll read a few of the verses. We're only going to look at chapter 1. I'm not going to go through all the chapter this morning, even though my lesson has me to go from verse to verse through the chapter. There are 24 verses in the first chapter, and we're going to look at the first half of the chapter, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Pretty well, if you'll understand and know, as you read the book of 2 Corinthians, that it is Paul that is kind of sharing some of his struggles in life. Paul has problems in life. Paul has troubles in life. And he's going to share that with the people, if you would, at Corinth. And he's going to share with them some of the struggles. He's not going to maybe list all of them by name, but you'll find as you read real quickly that Paul had trouble. He had sufferings in life. Now, you know, trouble and suffering, it's not something new that just came about in our lifetime. Trouble has been present since the beginning of time. You'll find that problems have been present since the beginning of time. We could go all the way back to the book of Genesis when God made man and woman. And you'll find very shortly after that that life had trouble and life had problems. So problems is a fact of life. Trouble is a fact of life. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul is going to address that to the believer and how he explains to the believer that just because you're a follower of Christ does not exempt you from trouble in life. In fact, many times it will multiply problems in life. Paul addresses the believers and how that trouble is going to come your way just because you are a child of God. Trouble is going to come your way because of sin in life. Trouble will come your way just because life is full of trouble. And if you live on planet Earth, you're going to have trouble in life. Paul's going to address that. He's going to talk a little bit about that. Now, today we live in a very troubled day. We'll mention that often. We live in a difficult day. We live in a day and age where people allow problems in life sometimes to get the best of them. And none of us this morning are exempt from problems, but the key to the book is going to be the key for life is not avoiding trouble, because you can't avoid it. I mean, if you own anything in life, you've got problems. If you own an automobile this morning, you're going to have some problems in life. If you own a home or live in a home, you're going to have troubles in life. If you have anything in life, or if you do anything in life, it's just a fact, you're going to have problems in life. So the book is not written of how to avoid problems, because you cannot avoid problems. The book is written, and Paul is addressing the believer. And he's not trying to tell you how to avoid it. He's trying to tell you how you deal with it and how you live from life from day to day, and how that you take the trouble that comes your way and the problems that you may have in your life and how you deal with those and how you react to those and how you live upon that. That's going to be the key to success in the Christian life, is how you deal with the problems and troubles of your life. For instance, you hear a word a lot today, the word depression. A lot of people face depression in life. I've looked up the word depression in the Webster Dictionary this morning. The word depression means a low place. It means a low spirit, or it is when a person is in a state of hopelessness. And a lot of people find themselves in that state in life. And many times they find themselves in that spot in life because they don't know how to deal with problems. Now, I'm not talking about lost people. You have to understand here, Paul's not talking to lost people. Paul is talking to believers in Christ and how you deal with these problems and these sufferings and these trials and these tribulations in life, how you deal with them and how you live on top side in life. And it's all based on how you deal with your problems in life. There's no one in this room this morning that does not have a degree of problems. There's not a teenager in our church or in our school, there's not a child that comes to the school here that does not have problems or trials or difficulties in life. Now, some are greater than others, and as we get older, they seem to increase in intensity, and they may multiply as we get older in life. But everybody that you meet in church this morning is going to be somebody that falls in this category that Paul is dealing with, that has troubles, tribulations, problems in life. Paul's not trying to address the issue of depression. Paul's trying to address the issue of problems and how you deal with it as a believer. For instance, I kind of skimmed through the book of 2 Corinthians. I'll just read a short list of problems or difficulties that Paul's going to address in this book. And this is in no way all of them. This is just some of the more major themes of the book here. Here's some issues that he's going to address, and maybe you fall in one of these categories here. He addresses suffering in life. He addresses being afflicted in life. He deals with Christians who have trouble in life. He deals with the troubles that come with just being in the ministry. You know, just being in the ministry and serving God is going to bring some problems about itself. You have to realize you have an enemy this morning. Satan hates the ministry of God. He doesn't want it to go forward. He doesn't want you to be successful, and you have an enemy just there. And there's even problems, just what we would list as ministry problems. He goes on and he deals with those who are persecuted in life. He deals with a problem that people face in life of the death of a friend or a loved one in this book. He talks about imprisonments. Now, as far as I know, none of us has been in prison, but Paul spent time in prison. He knows what it's like to spend days and nights in prison. He deals with the subject of sorrow. He deals with the subject of the poor and the struggles that being poor and the problems it brings about by being poor in life. He deals with the subject of being robbed in life. He deals with the plain issues of Satan's daily attacks upon a believer. Paul addresses the problem of being beaten physically in life. He knows what it's like to have physical pain. He deals with the subject of pain in life, physical pain, some inflicted, some not. He deals with the subject of just being in need. Paul knows what it's like to go through a day and have nothing to eat. He talks and deals with the subject of being weak and spiritually weak in life. He knows what it's like, and he also addresses the subject of being physically weak in life. He deals with the subject of being falsely accused in life. He deals with the subject of what it's like to have teachers that go down the wrong path and start teaching false doctrine in life. So as you can see here, Paul's going to address a lot of subjects. Now, I just believe this morning that we all can relate to a lot of these subjects that Paul is going to deal with. I think everybody in this room knows what it's like at some point in life to have suffering in life. We may know what it's like to be afflicted in life. He deals with just the basic subject of troubles of life, ministry troubles, being persecuted, having a death of a friend or a loved one. I think we've all been there at some point in life. Now, imprisonments, I'm not too sure about it. I've never been in prison. I have preached in prison, but I've never been a resident in prison. I don't know what that's like. Then you've got the issue of sorrow and how that some people have a tough time knowing how to deal with sorrow. He deals with such being robbed and the extent that he was robbed. I've never been faced with something like that. Satan's attacks, I think we could all maybe relate to that. Paul was one that was beaten physically, and I don't know that I can really relate there, but Paul was one that could relate to that. Physical pain, no doubt most of us in this room know what it's like to have at least some degree of physical pain, maybe some more than others. Being in need, weakness, and so there's so many subjects here that Paul is going to deal with, and he's going to teach the believer how you react to these problems in life, because they're going to come. There are just some subjects that you find down through here that I promise you it is impossible to live life and not face some of these issues that Paul is going to address here. And Paul is going to address them in a way to help the believer to overcome them. That's the key. The whole key to the book is how you overcome all these different issues. And I haven't by any means listed all of the subjects that he's going to deal with. I just listed a portion of those that he's going to deal with. It's going to be much more. I think I listed 17, 18, maybe points here that Paul is going to address, and he's going to shine a light on that problem. He's going to make sure that everybody understands it's a part of life. You can't avoid it. You know, I guess everybody, you know, we'd all like to live in this bubble where we're secluded from the world we live in. It's impossible to do that. You ever heard somebody say, you know, I think I would rather just move out Montana and buy 1,000 acres, put my house right in the middle, and just get off the grid and just get out of society altogether? It's impossible. You say, and people say that thinking that they're going to escape all the problems and the heartaches and the troubles of life, but there is not a place you can go on earth to avoid problems. They're everywhere, and they're multiple. And even Paul addresses here, it makes people understand that some of your affliction that you'll go through in life, it's all because you are a believer, and for that reason only. Paul addresses some problems and basically saying, you know, just because physically, it's just a known fact, your body is going to wear out. Can we all testify to that? I think we could all testify that I'm not what I used to be. Why? Because your body is deteriorating, and that's unavoidable. You know, and it doesn't matter how many commercials come on television about how to look young again and ageless wonders and so forth. It is a falsehood. You can take all the pills you want to, and you put all the cream on your body you want to, but I promise you, you're getting older. And your body's deteriorating. Paul talks about that. You know, just because you lived another day, you have problems in life. So he addresses that there are problems, there are trials, there is trouble in life, but he's not just putting a spotlight on it and just saying, you've got it. Paul is saying, you've got it, but here's how you deal with it. Here's how you solve it. Here's how you overcome it. Here's how you stay on top side. And what's so great about this book is that most of it is a gift from God to a believer. And what's sad on the flip side of that is, lost people do not have access to most of what Paul is going to give in this book. It is for the believer. So let's get into our, we'll get into looking at a few things here that Paul is going to address. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it is just a greeting or an introduction to the book, if you would. And Paul addresses who he is and how that he is writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth in verse number 1. So he is writing to the believers that live in Corinth and go to church there and are believers there, and he's going to try to help them because he realizes they're struggling in life. Paul is going to address that he's struggling in life. So he says in verse number 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, he gets into the letter of what he is going to address and what he's going to deal with. Now, the theme of 2 Corinthians is encouragement for those who are undergoing the trials of life. Now, everybody can use encouragement. And that's going to be a central theme in the book as a believer, how that it is your responsibility as a believer to be someone who comforts others, even though you're going through the same problem that others are going through. And that's going to be very, very key as we go through the book here, that you understand that Paul is addressing the believer and how that you as a believer, even though you have trials and you have problems and you have heartbreaks and you have difficulties in life, it is your responsibility as a believer to help others that are going through the troubles and trials and heartbreaks and heartaches and difficulties in life, and how that it's our responsibility to help others go through the same problems. And the problems of life, if you're not careful, can distort your way of thinking, the way you live. And that's why, you know, that's why sometimes you turn on the news and you hear about somebody who commits suicide. What a devastating event that is in life. What is that? It is when a person gets to the point where they think there's absolutely no hope and there's no way to go forward. But, you know, as a believer, we have to understand and we have to know there's always hope and there's always a way forward in life. And sometimes it's our responsibility as a believer to help others to realize and understand that, yes, you have troubles, you have problems and difficulties in life, and they may be large in life, but there is hope and there is a way forward if you'll just trust God and that God knows what he's doing. This book is to help provide comfort to those that are a child of God. This book is a cure, if you would, to the troubles and problems and difficulties of life. This is a book that will help you go through difficult times in life. It's a wonderful book. So let's get into it. Verse number 3, you'll find here that Paul says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, you need to understand that verse. That verse is very important as we go through the entire book of 2 Corinthians. You have to understand that it is not you that comforts anybody. It's God working through you that comforts people. You see, God is the comforter this morning. I there are a lot of problems in life, and we all maybe have what we feel like would be the answer to problems in life, but I've got news for you this morning. There's only one person that knows all the answers, and that's God Almighty this morning. We can give encouraging words. We can try to uplift somebody with the words that we give to somebody, but if a person truly gets helped in life, it comes from God because God is the comforter of life. Now, we're just a vessel, if you would, of the comfort that God can give an individual. And you find that present in verse number 3. He says here in verse number 3 that God is the Father of mercies, and he is the God of all comfort, right? Not partial, not a part or a small matter of comfort. It's all comfort. All comfort comes from God. And as we go through life, we have to realize that all we are is just an instrument being used of God. All that we are from day to day, we're just a tool used of God to try to give comfort to somebody else. And by the way, there's hurting people everywhere in life. You don't have to go far to find that there are a lot of people that struggle in life, that are hurting in life, and they need help. They just don't know where to get the help. They don't know how to get help. They don't know how to solve the problems of life. They don't know how to solve the way they feel and the way they think in life, and they need help. Now, their help is in God Almighty this morning. And somehow, some way, we have to relate that to them, and they have to understand that there's nothing that you personally can do to help them, but you know of somebody that can, and that's God Almighty. And Paul addresses that right off the bat here. Because Paul had to be careful, because some people felt like that Paul was some kind of supernatural individual, that somehow Paul was living above the fray of life, that Paul somehow had a life of ease, and he's going to describe that he did not have a life of ease by any measure. But there were some that just felt like that Paul had it all. I mean, Paul was someone that somehow had some kind of a special gift. And Paul is acknowledging here that he's not any more special than anybody else. He just realized that there's comfort that comes only from God. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to understand that. We have to know that. That all this comfort comes from God Almighty. Look, if you would, and we'll move on. Verse number 4, he says here, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. All right, now the word who is referring to God. And you have to acknowledge and understand here in verse number 4 that it is God that's going to comfort us in all of our tribulation. So, whatever your problem may be this morning, whatever your difficulties may be, and I say problem, I don't know why I use it in a singular sense here. It ought to be plural, because we've got probably a lot of problems in life. We have difficulties in life. We have trials in life. But we have to understand here that it's God who comforts during that time. Now, in verse number 4, we better thank God for word all there, because there is no problem that God cannot comfort. None. God's always the answer. People have troubles in life. They're searching for an answer. What's the answer? God's the answer. People have heartaches in life. They have depression in life. They have difficulties in life. I mean, life is upside down, and they're at their rope's end, as we'll classify often. What's the answer? The answer is God. God is the comforter of all tribulation. So in verse number 4, when it says all our tribulation, the word tribulation there, I mean, it sums up anything that you could put in the realm of a problem or a difficulty or of a trial. You lump it all together, and God is the only one that can comfort you through that trial. Look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So here's what Paul is saying. Paul acknowledges here that he doesn't have a special gift. He doesn't have a special pill to give everybody. He just acknowledges, he knows, and he understands that it's God that gives comfort in time of trouble. And as God has given that to Paul, now it is Paul's responsibility to share that with others, as you find in verse number 4. So let's go back to verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we, who's received that, may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what is it? It's very basic. You take the comfort that God gives you, and you pass it along and share it with somebody else. You pass along the understanding that you want help in your time of trouble, it's God that's going to give you help. If it's you that's going through the financial burdens of life or a marriage problem, an addiction problem, a suffering problem, whatever problem you face in life or whatever problem others are facing in life and you come in contact with them, you have to always circle back around that God is the answer. If you really, truly want to help someone in life, it's not your words that's going to help them. It's God that's going to help them. You see, we are to take the comfort that God gives us and give it to others. You know, and let me say this real quickly here. Many times, God does not remove the suffering that somebody's going through. Did you hear me? Here's where people are really going to get fall off by the wayside. Most everybody wants an instant fix. Am I right? You ask Brother Mike, Miss Jane, and Sister Jada this morning. They come to them. Guess what? They want them to give them a pill. We want an instant fix. Do we not? It could be that I've been smoking cigarettes for 40 years, and I, for some reason, my lungs are starting to kind of clog up a little bit, and I'm coughing and having a breathing problem, and I go to them and say, I need something to stop this. The first thing they're probably going to tell me is, I need to do what? Probably quit smoking. Well, I don't want to hear that. I enjoy my cigarettes. I want to keep on smoking. So what? Guess what the next thing is? I'm going to tell them, I'm not interested in that. I just want you to give me a pill to make it where I can breathe. Are you with me this morning? Now, here's where the world is at, and often we'll find ourselves in the same shoes if we're not careful. We have to understand often in life, the trouble that we have in life, it's not that you just go find Brother Richardson and him pray over it and it automatically just disappeared. Now, if that was happening in life, there would be a line so long out of his office tomorrow that all he would do is just pray for somebody and all their problems go away. Am I right? I might be the first one in line if that's the way it was working. But that's not the way it works. Here's the key. Also, another key is you go through the book of 2 Corinthians. You're going to find through this book, and I'm not saying that it never happens, but most often, God does not remove the problem. Well, that's where we have a problem. See, we want it removed. Often God will look at your problem and say, you know what, your problem is actually going to help you in the long run. You see, we want to be able to go to God and say, God, here's all my troubles of today. I want you to erase the board. I want you to wipe it clean. I want them all to be gone away. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. I just accept this morning that, you know what, I've got problems today. And I would expect tomorrow being Monday, I'm going to get up and I'm going to have some trouble tomorrow as well. Now, if it were that I could just pray and say, God, take care of all my problems, and God took care of all of them, that's what we'd be doing on a daily basis. But it doesn't work that way. And here's something else that Paul is trying to make sure the believers understand. Most often, God is not going to take your problem away. God is not going to take that trouble out of your life. God is going to allow that to take place. But here's the key. God's going to help you with it. God's going to help carry the burden. God's going to help you along life's path. Yeah, we're going to struggle. We're going to have problems. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have difficulties in life. You take the issue. Paul's going to address also the issue that people struggle with in life when they lose a loved one to death. Did you know that you can pray all you want to that somebody never dies, but someday they're going to die? Am I right? Unless the Lord returns first, that someday our life is going to come to a close. And we can pray and pray and pray all we want to, you know. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, if we have a loved one in the hospital, that's on their deathbed, as we'll call it sometimes. There's nothing wrong for me to go by there and pray that God spare them. But you know what? If it's not God's will to spare them, they're not going to live. And that is a struggle that we have in life. Nobody likes to lose a loved one. Nobody likes to encounter death that's close to home. But it's a fact of life. And Paul says, guess what? It's going to happen. It will take place. It will touch your life somewhere, somehow, some way, sometime. It's going to happen. But Paul says, but you know what? You're not alone. Let me tell you something that can help you. And all through this book, you're going to find that God, through the inspiration of God, is going to reveal unto us how you deal with that. How you overcome all these problems in life. But God does not always remove the suffering or the pain or the trouble or the difficulty. But God comes alongside us to help carry our burdens and help us through that trial. And when you get through that suffering or that trial or through that period of difficulty, and you come out on the other side, you'll be able to look back and say, it's only by the grace of God that I ever survived that. And you can look back and say, man, I learned a lot going through that. So you'll find in verse number 4 that Paul says, who comforteth us in our tribulation. All right, so who is it? Who's the who? It's God in verse number 4. And then he says that we, talking about us, that's received that comfort from God, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So you take the gift of comfort that God's given unto you. You take that comfort. You don't hoard it and keep it for yourself. You share it with others and you help others through their difficult times. You know, I read through this list, and like I said, it's by no means all the subjects that Paul is going to address. Do you not feel like that all of us are going to maybe go into some of these this week, or we may run into someone that's struggling with some of these issues that we listed? Suffering, being afflicted, trouble, ministry problems, being persecuted in life, death, imprisonment, sorrow, being poor, being robbed, Satan's attacks, being beaten, physical pain, being in need, facing weaknesses, falsely accused, false teachers. Do you not feel like that we ourselves will probably encounter some of those this week? And if not us, we'll at least acknowledge that somebody in our path, in our life, will face some of these, if not many of these, this very next week. And Paul is saying that it can be a sad note as we list all those. But then on the flip side, there's a bright side to all of this, that we've got a Heavenly Father that can help you through any of these problems. There's not a problem on planet Earth that God cannot help someone through. You know, one of the big subjects in our day and time is drug addiction. Some people will say that there's certain drugs, if you ever take it once, you're hooked for life. I don't believe that. Now, I realize that our bodies and different chemicals react in certain ways, and we call it addiction, where they feel like they've got to have it. I just believe this morning God's big enough to stop anything. And I believe that God's big enough to help anybody with any problem. I'm not saying that we don't have weak moments, and I'm not saying that people don't have weak days and that we don't struggle and that we don't have sin anymore. I understand all those factor into life, but I'm just a believer this morning. God can help anybody with any problem on planet Earth. I just believe, for instance, you go back to verse number 4, he says that we may be able to comfort them which are in just certain problems or certain troubles. Is that what it says? No, it says all troubles. There's not a trouble on planet Earth that God cannot help you with. None. I don't care what the problem may be. God can help in that problem. So you'll find here, we'll move on here, verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now the word consolation is going to be used different occasions in this book. It means comfort, or one who gives comfort in life. So you got to keep that in mind as well. As a child of God, one of your responsibilities or our responsibilities in life is that we give comfort to others. Now, if we never give comfort to others, then we're not doing our job. It's hard to be in the will of God but live on earth and not help comfort other people. That's part of our job, is to comfort other people. Look at verse number 6, you'll find here. He says in verse number 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now, if you read through verse number 6, you'll come to the conclusion that suffering alive for a child of God is never without purpose and without use. When God allows you to go through sufferings in life, it is for a reason. All right? God has a reason for all suffering in life. God has a purpose. God has a use for it. Now, we don't like the trouble, or we don't like the pain, or we don't like the affliction in life. And it's hard for us to acknowledge this morning that it may be for our own good, but I'm telling you this morning that if you're going through pain, if you're afflicted, or if you're suffering in any form, way, or fashion in life, God has a purpose in that this morning. There's a reason behind it. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this morning, God of heaven this morning is not looking down just trying to find a way to make life hard for us. God is not trying to make life difficult for us. God is not trying to make us suffer. He doesn't want us to just live in pain day after day. So you may say, then why do we at times? Well, the reason behind that is because there's a reason and purpose behind it. You know, people will often maybe testify that some of the darkest days of life, in the end, they probably learned more during those days than they ever did when they were on the mountaintops of life. Now, I can't say this morning that I like going through the valleys of life. I enjoy the mountaintops much more than I do the valleys, but it's in the valleys of life sometimes that we learn more than we ever did, than we did when we were on the mountaintops of life. And that's what Paul's addressing here. And suffering has a purpose, and there's a reason behind it. In fact, you'll find in verse number 6, Paul is basically saying that, you know, there are times when you go through suffering, and one of the reasons that you go through that suffering is it's going to teach you some things in life, and you're going to find that there's comfort that comes from God, and everything you learn during that time, you take it and you help others with it, because you'll find that somebody else is going to go through the same problems that you go through. You know, isn't it amazing that no matter what our problems may be today, you'll always find there's other people that's gone through the very same thing. You take somebody that's lost a loved one, and it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, a grandmother. It doesn't matter who it is. I promise you, if you've lost any of those, there's other in this room that's lost the very same thing. And what you do is you take that comfort that you gain from God during that time, and that wisdom and that knowledge that you gain through that difficult time, and then in return, you share and give it to someone else, and you comfort and help them through their hard times. Verse number 7, he says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also the consolation." That word consolation means ones who give comfort. You know, one thing about being a child of God, there's always hope there's a better day coming. Always hope. There's always a better day coming. We acknowledge this morning, we don't know when, but we just know there's a day when the Lord's going to return, dear friend. And what a wonderful day that's going to be for a child of God. Now, a lost person doesn't have that comfort. The Lord's return is not a good day for them. It is for the child of God, but not for the lost. So, say people always have the ability to hope for a better day, and that's something that lost people this morning do not have. Look at verse number 8. "For we would not, brethren," make sure you understand, don't save people here, "have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Paul acknowledges that he has trouble in life.
He's opening up here. He's revealing his heart
unto the people that he has problems. He goes on. He says that we were pressed out of measure. Now, Paul doesn't tell us what it is. But something happened in the life of Paul where Paul says in verse number 8 that he said, I want you to know that I've got trouble in my life. He tells you where that trouble began or where he encountered this trouble. He doesn't tell you what it is, but he then goes on and says that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. What does that mean? It means Paul is saying this. There was a period of time that we encountered some trouble. It was so large and so great, Paul is testifying to the people here. He says that we were pressed out of measure. He said, I'll go further than that. I didn't even think we were going to live. I felt like we were going to die. Now, Bible scholars can speculate on what this is or the threats that were given to them or whatever, and we might can narrow it down, but I'm going to be safe here and not say because I really don't know for sure exactly what Paul is referring to here. He doesn't reveal exactly what it is, but he says, I just want you to know, brethren at Corinth, as he writes this letter, I just want you to know that I got some major problems in my life. And I encountered them. He tells you where he encountered them. He said, it bent me all out of shape. It twisted my life all around. It distorted my life. In fact, it was so bad that I didn't even know if we were going to live. You see, you'll find here that Paul reminded the Corinthians that he had great troubles in his own life. You know why? Because Paul was not exempt from trouble. So Paul, he said, he even acknowledges, I've got times in my life where my problems are so large that it pressed me out of measure. You ever heard the old phrase, he's all bent out of shape? Paul was all bent out of shape. And Paul said, I didn't even know if I was going to live. That's pretty serious problems. Now, I've got problems this morning, but I don't think I've looked at my problems today and thought to myself, I think they're all going to kill me. I haven't thought about that today. So I would acknowledge here in verse number 8, Paul's got some serious problems in life. He's pressed out of measure. Paul was afraid for his life that it might end because of the trouble that he had in his life. He goes on to verse number 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. He said, we thought we were going to die, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And Paul basically said in verse number 9, he said, the only thing that helped me through it all was I put my trust in God. Paul said, I didn't have a way out. I didn't know what to do. I thought I was going to die. I was pressed out of measure. I had major trouble in my life. And he said, the only thing that I need to do is just put it in the hands of God, and I just trusted God. And that is something very key that we have to understand in life. When we help people in life and we help people in this wicked world we live in, we've got to make them understand you have to learn how to trust in God. And that's hard for some people to do. You know, a lot of people in this world, they don't trust anybody. And I can understand why sometimes. They don't trust their own children, or they don't trust their own parents. They don't trust their next-door neighbor. They don't trust the ones that they work with. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the news. And sometimes, sadly, they don't even trust believers sometimes. But you've got to convince people who are going through these troubles, you have to put your trust in God. It's going to start there. Now, Paul is going to give some practical application as well of what we do past that. But he said the first step is you've got to put your trust in God. He says in verse number 9, the worst thing you can do is trust yourself. You put your trust in God. He goes on in verse number
Verse number 10, it's an interesting verse here. There's three things I want to point out in verse number 10. He's talking about God here. It's interesting. Verse number 10, if you've got something to write with, I want you to underline a few things. Verse number 10, he says, who, talking about God, delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There's three points here. You'll find in this verse here, verse number 10, you'll see the word delivered us. That's the past. That's past tense. God's already done that. He's already delivered us at times. Then he goes on in verse number 10 and uses the word doth, D-O-T-H, deliver. That's the present. He's still delivering. And then he says in verse number 10, yet will yet deliver us, talking about the future. Now, the great thing here is that God has delivered us. He'll deliver you today, and he'll deliver you in the future. He is the answer. Verse number 11, I got to hurry, my time's out. Verse number 11, yet also helping through by prayer for us. And that's another key. Prayer is a part of dealing with your troubles. Now you say, well, that's kind of basic. We all understand that. And here's my problem. Why is it so often when I have a problem in life, my first reaction is to go find somebody that can help me with my problems? The last thing that I do that day before I go to bed is then I pray and tell God about it. Would I not be better off going to God first and go to him? Because he's actually the only one that's going to help me anyway. Prayer is a key in working with troubles in life. We'll look at that in the future here as well. And then verse number 12, it's interesting that Paul starts this verse and he says, for our rejoicing is this. It's interesting, now he's talking about rejoicing. Now, Paul, how are you going to rejoice when you said in verse number 8, you got all this trouble, you're pressed out of measure, insomuch you didn't even know if you're going to live, and now you find in a few verses later in verse 12, you're talking about rejoicing. How can you rejoice? Listen. It is possible for a child of God to go through any of these difficulties that we listed, suffering, affliction, trouble, ministry problems, persecuted, death, imprisonment, sorrow, poor, being robbed, Satan's attacks, beaten, physical pain, being in need, weakness, falsely accused. It's possible to go through any of those and still rejoice. Now, I'm sure we all excel at this, right? I don't find myself being real good at verse number 12. You ever met people sometimes and you don't dare ask them how their week's been? Because they'll tell you. How often, though, do we respond, how you doing? Well, pretty good. Pretty good? I've got news for you this morning. I'm doing better than pretty good. Do I have trouble? Sure I do. Do I have problems? Got a lot of problems in life. I'm doing real well. And Paul said, even in verse number 12, he says, by the way, he said, now here's our rejoicing. He said, it's this. And you'll find, I want to read down through the verse, you'll find this little phrase, but by the grace of God. Let me tell you how you can rejoice through all your trouble. It's by the grace of God. You know how you face death in life? It's by the grace of God. Do you know how you face addiction in life? It's by the grace of God. Do you know how you face suffering in life? It's by the grace of God. Do you know how you endure pain from day to day physically in your life? It's only by the grace of God. And even a child of God can rejoice when you realize the grace of God that's shed upon your life. Now, you got to acknowledge, he acknowledges in verse number 8, I've got trouble. Oh, my, I've got a lot of trouble. In fact, I've been so pressed out of measure. I've been so bent out of shape in life, so distorted in life, so messed up in life. I didn't even think I was going to live. And then Paul in verse number 12 says, but I can rejoice. And it's because of the grace of God. And then he says that last little phrase in verse number, last part of verse number 12, and more abundantly to you ward. Paul gives that grace of God and shares it with everyone. He acknowledges his problems. In fact, you'll find Paul even shares his problems asking the people at Corinth to pray for him. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for people, would you please pray for me? Nothing wrong with it. Often we'll have prayer request time, and so often we'll say, would you pray for so-and-so, pray for my neighbor, pray for my relative, pray for my wife, pray for my husband. There's nothing wrong with somebody in our church just standing up and saying, dear church family, would you pray for me? That Paul asked the people of Corinth, would you pray for me? I've got trouble. I'm bent out of shape. I'm pressed out of measure. There's times where the thought goes around my mind, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. I think I may die today. Pray for me. Nothing wrong with a person asking for prayer for their own self. But we'll look at it. We'll look at all these different problems that Paul's going to address in this book. You'll find he's going to address a lot of them. He's going to address them very quickly. He's going to be very basic. And he's going to tell you exactly how you respond to all these problems. And that's how you make it through the days of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you bless our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.